The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Kappa J Hood. J Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Hope that you're going to have a great day. Captain J Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come, we have Shot or No Shot. Also, some news on the Bears we'll get to coming up at 8:18 that you need to know about the future home of the Bears. We'll get to that coming up in our next half hour as well here on Cap and Jay Hood. But, Cap, we have some finds to give away. But first, we got to mention something about the pass from the Bears.
Yeah, you know, as I was looking through the roster here at the break, and again, let me be clear so no one twists what I'm saying.
Uh-oh.
It was time for change up there.
Mm-hmm.
It had gone stale.
I agree.
And they hadn't won. That's a fact. You don't win enough football games. You get compensated incredibly well. Time for change.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt is the quarterback coach, Nagy, in Kansas City. Good luck. Nice man. It was not personal. It was business. You're out. Ryan Pace didn't win enough. So he works for the Atlanta Falcons now. And that had to happen. I get it. But let's also not forget your number one receiver that everyone loves here, Darnell Mooney. Pace drafted him in the fifth round.
Sure.
Jalen Johnson, your number one corner. Pace. Eddie Jackson, Whitehair, Montgomery, Khalil Herbert in the fifth round. Finding your kicker in Santos. I mentioned trading up for Justin Fields. There are some pieces on the roster he did a really good job with. Again, it was time for Ryan Poles to come in and try and take this thing to the next level. And he's doing that. I just can't put him at the top of the list yet.
Not yet.
I mean,
yeah, it takes time.
He made his trades, and that's that. We'll see where it goes.
Mississippi State University football coach Mike Leach is an odd duck, you'd say, right?
Yes.
Very odd person.
He is.
Esoteric. Very, just kind of off the wall. It's an interesting guy. So Mike Leach in his press conference, his latest press conference after the game, was trying to explain what happened in the game. So this is a shout out to BerniesBookBank.org. This is who's sponsoring this segment. Let's go now and hear from Mike Leach after the game.
I didn't even get to vent that, you know, and then all of a sudden, well, they're kicking it off, and then I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think? It's getting better, too. Well, then we marched it downfield. I thought we could have been closer.
Now, hold on a second.
Step away from the mic. Sweet mother of God.
Now, listen. It's you after COVID, Cap. You had that similar.
I did have that cough.
I mean, what is that, Cap? All that, I'll be all that coughing.
Oh, now, I've had it. It's the worst.
Okay, but what's wrong with Leach? Oh, why can't you just get some water, move to the side, and just pause a minute?
The water, that's such a fallacy. The water does not stop the cough unless it's just a little dryness in your throat. If you have that dry cough,
Jesus.
I've had it.
Okay.
It's horrible.
Okay.
But.
That's fine, but.
Walk away from the mic for a second.
Well, then we marched it downfield.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Stop it. Let's play it again, Charlie, because we will add up the fines now for BerniesBookBank.org.
Right.
I didn't even get to invent that, you know. And then all of a sudden, well, they're kicking it off.
And then, two. three, four, five.
I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think? It's six. Getting better, too. Well, then.
Seven, eight.
We marched it downfield.
Oh, God!
I thought we could have been closer.
The poise to finish up his press conference. I thought we could have been closer.
Well, then we marched it downfield.
Oh, God! Cap, explain to me, what is that?
I don't know. Like, he's an intelligent... This guy's a lawyer. Highly intelligent guy.
Please.
If I have to cough, I do this. Turn my mic button back on. Now, he may not have a control like we have. There's a bunch of mics. Just walk away! Guys, excuse me.
Well, then...
Oh, God!
We marched it down field.
I literally can't finish his sentence.
Just get off the podium, man.
Charlie, one more time. Give me the march it downfield. Right?
Well, then... We marched it downfield.
It's the best. One of the funniest things I've heard in a long time.
I mean, strident. Just won't stop. Just continue. Just
I'm working on this trademark cough. Cap, it's getting better.
Cap, he's strident in that he's just going to finish it up. And he's not going to stop. He's just going to just keep barreling through with that bad cough.
They'll build a new wing for Bernie's book bank. Hey,
oh, my God.
Darren, what are these? Plans for a new Bernie's book bank. We're tripling the size. 80,000 square feet. Where are you getting the money? Do you hear Mike Leach?
Coming up next, shot or no shot.
Wow.
I'm working on his trademark cough.
Just
getting better.
Oh, God. Oh, 2 minutes. Oh, God.
That's why I say him and my shot.
No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and ESPN app.
That's why I say.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Brought to you by DraftKings. Every time of this day, we give you a shot or no shot, and it's brought to you by... God, come on, Cap. Bring it out.
That's not me.
Go right ahead, Cap.
So good.
Just clear it out.
I want to hear. I'm working on this trademark cough, and yes. It's getting better.
I mean, sure. I mean, he's always.
I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think?
So you have brought to you by.
That would be PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app. Get the live bets, the live in-game, same-game parlays, the lightning bets, and if you want to play the ponies, the horses. That would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Good morning, Secretariat. I miss you. Here is Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
All good. Rock and roll.
Hopefully better than Mike Leach in that press conference. So if you weren't listening last segment, Mike Leach had one of the great press conferences of all time. He was fined about 15 times. We counted through them. Let's get to shot or no shot, boys. Over the past 4 weeks, Justin Fields is the highest scoring player in football in fantasy points. And while Fields got off to a slow start with just 2 touchdowns to 4 interceptions through the first 4 weeks of the year, over the last 5, he's completed 64% of his passes for 851 yards, 8 touchdowns, and just 2 interceptions. He's also seen his red zone productivity tick up the first 7 weeks, 4 of 11 for 27 yards, 2 touchdowns. The last 2 weeks, 9 of 10, 71 yards, 5 touchdowns. My question, shot or no shot, Justin Fields is the most improved player in football.
That's a shot. That is a shot. He absolutely is more comfortable with what they're doing offensively. The Bears are an offensive threat. I'm not telling you they're a juggernaut because they can't stand in the pocket and throw it yet. but he is absolutely looking more in control and comfortable, and he's a leader. Everyone talks about his work ethic. He's fitting in beautifully into that role. So, yes, that's a shot.
I would say that is a shot also. And again, it's not about wins and losses with Justin Fields. It's about his development. And I just think most improved within the same season. Usually, Cap, voters like you will look at the player from 1 year to the other. Boy, you've improved from last year. You're a whole different player. Mm-hmm. But you could see the improvement. Now, again, slippery slope in that conversation. Go back to our 9 o'clock hour in the podcast of Cap and Jay Hood. We started the hour talking about Luke Getsy.
Was that yesterday? You're talking about yesterday?
Yesterday's show.
Yesterday.
Yeah,
okay.
On the Cap and Jay Hood podcast.
Yep,
feed.
Right on the ESPN app.
You've heard it, right?
Occasionally, yeah. Yeah,
you tune in every now and then.
Yeah, little chunk things there, the shorts.
Okay, they're not the chunks. They're Cap and Jay Hood shorts.
Same thing.
No, it's not.
A little chunk of the show.
No, chunks are in the stool.
Wow.
Yeah, shorts are on the podcast.
Okay.
There's a difference there.
I thought I wore shorts. Go ahead.
All right, you know what? You're going to have to leave here. It's pretty soon here. You're going to have to leave. Nonetheless, all I'm telling you is that our conversation with Getsy was interesting because Getsy looked at this offensive line and looked at the ability of Justin Fields and said, you know what, we're going to give him room to roam. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be stoic and just stand in the pocket and looking and staring down one or two receivers. They got to fight to get open. Justin can get it done with his legs, and he almost won that game with his legs. So it's an improvement in that regard for three games. Is there anyone else that should be on that list, Shay? That's the whole question. It's a great question.
Geno Smith.
Now, see,
it's a good year, man.
That might be a playoff team.
Go
see?
Back on the ESPN app.
He might
app.
Be a top five passer this season, like genuinely.
Go back on the ESPN app the first show after the Bears just annihilated Seattle in the preseason. And everyone said, well, Seattle will be the worst team in the NFL. Yeah, not so much. They're in first place.
I thought they'd vie for the number one pick, honestly.
Okay, well, guess what? They're vying for the playoffs and a division championship.
You know what, Cap? Think about Geno Smith. I think the whole league had him dead and buried.
Correct. And okay. I remember somebody called that show. Pete Carroll's like 70 years old. He's done. The game's passed him. Yeah, not so much. His guys love playing for him. And I see a team flying to the ball on defense, making plays with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Kenneth Walker from Michigan State. Take that, Snorling. And look out. That team's good.
Most improved player in Chicago, yes. Most improved player in the NFL,
we'll see.
No shot.
I would say shot.
How about this stat, too, before I just to highlight how much he's improved before we move on. Versus the Blitz last season, Justin Fields at a 78.9 passer rating. Versus the Blitz this season, 100.1.
Yeah, because they're getting him on the move. I would love, he wouldn't talk to me because he's mad at me, I would love to sit down and have breakfast with Matt Nagy.
Oh, he'd talk to you.
No, he would not. But I would love to. Look, Matt, I got my iPad here. I got that Game Pass on. We're going to watch some of this year's film versus last year's film. Would you admit now that maybe you should have gotten whoever your quarterback was on the move a little bit more?
He would do that, but Nagy's too busy getting Andy Reid coffee and markers to put on to make eyebrows on his players. So there's just no way that Nagy would have time for that. Shay.
All right, looking around the NFL, there are a lot of teams that have some questionable futures. You don't have to look any further than the Bears' opponent this weekend. The Lions look set to once again pick a new quarterback and reset their rebuild. The Packers also look like they have their first rebuild in three decades on the horizon. And there are other teams like the Colts who spring to mind who are in the tank. Very clearly just going all in to get as high a pick as possible this season. So my question, shot or no shot? The Bears have one of the five best future situations in the NFL.
One of the five best
future. Great question.
Well, I mean, do you consider the Chiefs having a future situation or they've already arrived?
No, the Chiefs, I think, have one of the top futures. The Bills, I think, have one of the top futures.
Bears' top five futures. Well, the Bills certainly have a bright future. The Ravens do. Lamar's not going anywhere.
Is he?
Okay. Well, okay.
He's is not. He? John Harbaugh said this week there is zero chance he's not going to be there.
No,
zero.
You know what? I understand the question, Shay. I know what you're asking. Because we're not talking about teams that are good in the present. We're talking about the future. And you're talking about teams that probably won't make the playoffs or on the precipice of the playoffs and might fall short. So he's talking about teams like the Bears. He's talking about the Broncos. Yeah. He's talking about the Washington Commanders.
Wait, so wait, we're not counting
no,
like...
No, you can. I think that you can be both. I think it's probably rare that you're both. I think most of the teams that are good this year are probably at the end of being good. Chiefs and Bills are probably an exception.
Cowboys.
Well, when we when we talk about future teams.
Okay, here's a better way to put it then.
Okay.
I don't want to speak for Shay, but it's our show.
Yep.
5 years from now,
Bears are in that top five.
Are they in the top five?
For sure.
Okay.
Because when we say future, that doesn't mean like, because if we're talking about if the future is now, then we're talking about the Bills. We're talking about teams that should make the postseason.
Okay, 5 years from now, the Chiefs are going to be there.
I think so.
Yeah, Mahomes is what, 25?
Yeah. It's the infrastructure around him though, I wonder about.
I'll bet with that quarterback they'll be good. I think Dallas will still be good. Dak is only what, 26, 27?
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo certainly is going to be really good.
Right.
I would think Miami will be one of those teams over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. You ever going to count out the Patriots next five
They're
years?
They're not in there.
You sure?
I don't know that today. I'm not counting on them.
I have my next
the
shot
Buccaneers.
Or no,
no, he's not going to be playing at age 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if
Bears could be one of those five.
Does that make sense, Shay? That if you say when you say the word future, I'm thinking you're talking about 3 to 5 years down the line.
The way to look at it is: are there five teams? Are there five situations that you would rather have over the next 5 years than the Bears?
Oh well.
Or are they in that top five?
I think it's a shot they're in the top five.
We're talking about the future, yes.
Because if I dropped you, Jonathan Hood, into a GM job,
yeah,
assuming that was the career path you were on, I can give you any of these jobs.
Well, I got my quarterback in place in Chicago.
Okay, you got charter franchise,
mm-hmm.
amazing fan base, new stadium probably coming.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields is 23 years of age. Yeah. Absolute shot, top five.
Bengals
situation.
Are in there.
Bengals
are in there.
No doubt.
Yep.
Do you have the Jets in there?
Jets are potentially there. I don't know about their QB yet.
That's the question.
But they've got a lot of talent.
I think the Jets and the Giants are both good teams this year, but neither of them are certain they have the quarterback, so that holds you back.
That's correct.
Agreed.
That's
so
correct.
I would say there's five or six. I wouldn't put Denver there. That guy looks like he's trending in the wrong direction.
Like, it's funny we don't say
Russell Wilson.
It's funny we don't say the Steelers because we don't know what Kenny Pickett is.
Correct.
No idea.
Correct.
So that's a good question, Shay. That's a good question. I like that one because it talks about the future of the team and teams around the Bears.
It's one of the best shot, no shot questions we've had since we've ever done shot, no shot as a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Danny. That was a really good question.
No need for us.
Giving you plaudits on that one.
I'm blushing, guy. I'm going to be on Black and Abdallah. Good question, though.
There you
That's fantastic.
There you go.
All right, Shay.
All right, Bill Belichick has admitted a rather embarrassing and revealing problem facing the New England Patriots offense. This will go back to whether or not they're in the future. In their last two games, both wins, the Patriots struggled to score against the Jets and the Colts, and now Belichick has admitted that the opponents knew the plays the Patriots were going to run before they ran them. Shot or no shot, this is further proof that Belichick's reign of terror is over.
He said that in the press conference openly?
Yep.
Is there sound? Like, he said that? He said that the opposition knew what they were running?
Yes.
Do you have the direct exact quote?
Why would he say that openly? He doesn't say anything.
He was asked about it. Belichick said, "That's what it looked like to me, too. We definitely want to prevent that. I thought there were two or three plays for sure that Leonard got a big jump on and stopped us, basically, on those plays. C.J. Mosley got a couple of those a couple weeks ago in the Jets game. It looked almost like he heard the play in the huddle. He was on it so fast. Leonard had a couple like that, too."
That also does not give the Jets and the Colts any credit for just being able to look at the scouting report or look at the film. You mean to tell me that the Patriots the only one that could be able to look at the film and be able to study and say, I know what's going to happen before it happens? Give those coaching staff some credit, too. How about that?
It's if you do film study, I don't care what the sport is, you do film study, you'd be amazed the things you pick up. But it takes hours. You can watch the breakdown. Okay, whatever. What did I see? Run it again. You keep watching and you see a tendency and you go, whoa, wait a minute. Watch what he does with his right elbow when he's going to do that.
It's funny. Funny you say that. The game I call with UIC against Trinity, Luke Yaklich, the head coach for UIC, and he's standing there, and there was a Trinity player that went to his right, and coach said, hey, which way did he go? Hey, he told him his friend, hey, which way did he go? Went to his right. What did I tell you? He said that.
You watch the tape and you go,
tendencies.
His right shoulder drops when he's going to put the ball on the deck and cross you over. We had a player when I was at NIU, Carl Armato. He would take off. He's our point guard. Run back down the floor to get in the defensive position. He goes, watch that on the tape. He looks one way and he bounce passes it in at the other end just to bring the ball up. He took off two steps, bounced right back, intercepted it, and laid it in. We won by two.
And that is because of good scouting. So I would say no shot to that. In that, why can't you give the Jets and Colts credit? Maybe they looked at the film.
Yeah, maybe they did homework, like Hoodie's guy.
To your point, the Patriots are one of the worst tendency teams in the NFL. When Mac Jones is in the shotgun, 80% of the plays are passes. When he's under center, 80% of the plays are runs. They are one of the worst tendency teams in football.
Right, but when Tom Brady's your quarterback, you can go stick these tendencies where the sun don't shine. You can't stop it anyway.
And that's
different.
Shot or no shot here on a Wednesday morning. Hey, coming up next, the Bears have unveiled more plans for Arlington Heights, and pre-development has been approved. We reviewed that story coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears, oh my. Bears. What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces? Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping? Let's find out together. Animal Stories on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
It's time for Animal Stories, Uncle Cappy.
Let's go, little Johnny, and rock and roll. These are always fun.
All right, we go to F.U. Shay Norling with another animal story.
So I saw this on Twitter earlier this week. Every once in a while, the National Park Service has to issue a warning to park goers because people can't control themselves. I found this one interesting. The warning, please refrain from licking psychedelic toads.
Okay, why would I do that? Why would I put my tongue on a psychedelic toad?
And how do you know said toad is psychedelic if you're out hiking? It's Starved Rock. I'll just pick an example where I've hiked.
So the toad is easily identifiable. It's one of the largest toad species in North America. It's 7 inches long and makes a very characteristic quote.
Coming in at 3 inches.
Not that, no. 7 inches.
Makes a very characteristic quote, weak, low-pitched toot that sounds like a ferry boat whistle for its, you know, rivet.
It's me after tacos.
They also secrete what is called a potent toxin. So they're covered in, like, this slimy type of toxin. And if you lick it, it causes hallucinogenic effects. But it's also poison. So the National Park Service has issued a warning that if you see the Colorado River toad, also known as the Sonoran Desert toad, don't lick it, even though it'll give you hallucinogenic effects because you could poison yourself.
I mean, you just do anything to get high. I mean, seriously, you do that?
Curaleaf's not enough for people, huh?
Don't say that too loud. Aaron Rodgers might use that next.
Right.
Come on, man. Charlie, do you have to, I mean, of all things... Where in a lot of places, weed is legal. It's in Maryland now, by the way.
From Maryland and Missouri.
Yeah. So
legalized.
So, I mean, of all things, why lick a toad to get high?
My favorite part of that was Shay saying, well, if you see this toad, don't lick it.
as if I saw a different toad, I would be much more inclined to
well,
lick it.
At least you'd be safe if you did. The, the park didn't give a reason to issue the warning, but said, quote, yet here we are. And a New York Times report from March said that there had been increased demand for the toad using the secreted toxin by drying it into crystals and smoking it in a pipe.
Now, you see, this is something that can be commonplace today, Cap. Not years ago. Years ago, this person would just be weird, right? Because there would be no photographic evidence, correct, no social media, nothing to say, look at me, right?
Now it's different.
But I mean, because a selfie, if you turn the whole Polaroid camera around, it'd be blurry, right? You just turn on, and you don't know if it's really hitting you when you turn your big camera around, right? But now it's look at me. People do it just for TikTok. Just for social media.
What is he do? Licking a toad.
Just to get high. Psychedelic, right? Now, again, I'd like to know the ramifications of that, Cap. I mean, it's one thing to get high. What else comes from that?
Yeah, what is the fallout for doing that?
Well, it's poison. They said you can actually be hospitalized. It can be pretty serious. I don't think it's lethal necessarily, but it does say you can be hospitalized.
Jeez. It's no way that I'm doing that. Cap, I know you'd be interested. On a nice vacation?
No shot.
You like to hike? So
I like to hike, yeah. But yeah, no shot.
When I was in high school, kids used to, we had like hand sanitizer, you know, in the bathrooms. Sure. And kids used to empty those out so they could drink the alcohol.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I mean, people will do anything just to get a little kick.
I don't get it.
Going into a national park and licking a toad, I feel like I don't need to be warned. You don't need to come out and warn me that I shouldn't be licking a toad. I'm good. I'm not going to do that anyway.
You can't be surprised, Cap. I've seen you mix your Sudafed with your Sprite. I think that's just,
you've never
it's
that.
It's very odd when you do that.
Because I can't take Sudafed.
I'm just telling you, it's very odd when you take that cough medicine.
Maybe this is why Aaron Rodgers isn't playing well.
Well, how about that? Maybe this whole thing with this, what is it, ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca. A-Y. Ayahuasca. I've never taken it, but yes, I read about it.
This whole ayahuasca thing, maybe it's not working out too well for him.
Well,
didn't he also do psilocybic mushrooms? Didn't he say that was one of the greatest days of his life?
Yes.
When he like hallucinated with his friends on a beach somewhere in South America?
That's right.
He's an idiot. He's a hell of a player, but he's an idiot.
He wants to, hey, he's living his life, man. And his life for now is upside down.
Do people really use, like, I can't take Sudafed because I had that heart thing.
Yeah.
Do people really mix Sudafed in their drink?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about lean before on the show.
What's it called?
Lean. The purple drink. Lean.
I don't get it.
We talked about it.
That's like mostly like cough syrup, codeine, and stuff, I think.
I don't get it.
Sudafed people used to make meth, Cap. Watch Breaking Bad.
I remember.
So who gets the highest approval rating from the Bears? We'll explain that in 2 minutes right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
Cap and J-Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with you until 10, and then it'll be Greenberg, Mike Greenberg from 10 to noon, Carmen Yurko 12 to 2, Waldo and Sylvie 2 to 6, Black and Abdallah 6 to 8, 8 to midnight. It will be Freddie and Fitzsimmons right here on ESPN 1000. Jesse Rogers covers baseball for ESPN. He joins us here from Las Vegas as we get an update on the Cubs and the White Sox. Hello, Jess.
Good morning, sunshine. What's happening, boys?
Jesse!
You know what's happening. Dusty Baker, he is solidified now, a World Series champion. Let's start there. Your feeling about Dusty Baker after all these years of covering him with the Cubs and everything else, when you saw the final out of the season, what'd you think?
I thought this is a guy that's been in it so long and finally won. I mean, I can't imagine the feeling. You've been chasing this for so long, and you finally got there. If you talk to players and the players that have been around a while, they say he's evolved, that he's gotten even better over time. Remember, the analytic world has taken over, and he's been just seamless in entering that world and managing this team. It was actually a perfect fit as you look back at the cheating scandal. They bring in a guy with a lot of integrity, a player's manager, and they're able to get back-to-back World Series and win it.
Danny and Sylvie have to be throwing up that Dusty is now a lock to go to the Hall of Fame.
And I was in your camp as he left town here in Chicago. I wasn't as down on him as everyone else. So I'm not down that he won a World Series, but this is his ticket to the Hall of Fame. No doubt about it.
No
doubt. Did a great job.
No doubt.
Had the best team, but did a great job.
Danny says he thinks it's fitting Dusty Baker managed a group of cheaters to the World Series.
Oh,
well,
stop.
Yeah, I figured Danny would say that, but there was only like five left over, and only three of them were playing, really. So you can't indict the whole team right now, and they had all eyes, trust me. All these teams in the playoffs had all their eyes on anything that could be, you know, considered a little shaky there. And the commissioner's office, certainly at least not yet, has said anybody has been cheating during these playoffs. So take that, Danny.
Both the White Sox and the Cubs are looking for new talent. Your ears to the ground. What are you hearing first from the White Sox? What are you hearing there?
Well, Jonathan, you want to put your hands over your ears. It is very early in the process, and this makes this what I'm hearing even worse. Like, usually you might hear something a few weeks in, a month in, but right off the bat, we're talking days into the offseason, the vibe around the White Sox is they don't have money to spend, or they're not willing to spend it. However you want to say it, this, whatever fix they're going to have, it's not going to be throwing money at it. It's kind of crazy. Already hearing from agents just 2 days in, they don't have money to spend. And in fact, Han really kind of said that yesterday. I put it to him straight. Are you more likely to make some trades or fix things through free agency? Most of the time, GMs will be hemming and hawing over that question. He said trades. Didn't say that they didn't have any money, but it was kind of by inference. So you have the White Sox indicating we're not going to spend on free agency, and you have agents sort of confirming that. To hear it from both sides so early, Jonathan, was a little bit of a surprise. So, Sox fans, be ready for Oscar Colas possibly taking over in right field. Han mentioned him. Maybe an internal answer at second base after saying goodbye to Josh Harrison. And then if they make a big trade, think about the tradable parts. Is it Vaughn? Is it Eloy? You don't get Max for Eloy. You don't even get Max for Luis Robert because of the injury history. So there's not as many tradable pieces. You know, Moncada's not tradable. Grandel's not tradable. So you got to look to Giolito. I don't know if you trade Liam Hendricks to really mix things up. But, man, it is going to be a tough offseason if they're not spending money.
Okay, so let's go from Hoodie's about to just have a like puke all over the control panel right now. He's so mad. Let's go to the other side where they got nothing but money. They got Hayward off the books. I know they have to pay him, but he's gone. So are they going to be in on Trey Turner, my preferred choice? Are they going to be in on Correa, Bogarts, Aaron Judge, Kodai Senga, the Japanese star pitcher? Or, no, we're not really going to do any of that.
So I don't. You got to almost go one by one. No on Turner, but not because of them. I don't think Turner's going to end up in Chicago. I think actually he's going to end up in Philadelphia, that Dave Dombrowski now has a blank check after taking that team to the World Series. Bryce Harper loves Trey Turner. Anything could fall apart. So I would cross him off. I'd cross Aaron Judge off, a bunch of different reasons, but probably going back to New York or San Francisco. But I wouldn't cross all of them off, no. Correa has a possibility, yes. Bogarts has a possibility. I mean, I mentioned to Sylvian Waddle last week, hey, don't expect an 8 to 10 year kind of deal for any of these shortstops. But as I've learned here in the last week, that doesn't mean they're all going to ask for 8 to 10 years. They're a little bit older than they were, let's say, you know, obviously a year or two. Correa is now a year older. He can't expect the same kind of deal he was expecting at the onset. So if we're looking at 4 or 5 years at high AAV, the answer is yes. They're not kicking these agents out of their suites, but they want the right deal to bring them in. Last thing, I don't think the agent market is necessarily going to be crazy. Think about the four that signed. This executive reminded me of this. Correa, Simeon, Seager, the four that signed Baez last year, none of them made the playoffs. Already Baez's contract looks bad. So that could hurt the group this year. Hey, we're not going to throw the world at. We're not going to give you a Fort Knox. We a bunch of guys got a lot of money. They didn't make the playoffs last year. We're going to give you a nice contract. So that's where the Cubs would come in. If it's a nice contract and not a back-breaking contract, they'd be interested.
All right, Jesse. I'll try to be as nice as I can with this question about the White Sox. So out of that press conference with Grafal, the new manager, we kept hinting or kept hearing that the Sox need to play with more edge. You know, like, and I don't know what that means. I mean, I think Kenny Williams, when he was a general manager, he wanted that. He wanted a football team rather than a baseball team as far as the temperament to go day to day. Can you create that edge with the majority of these players that are still on the roster? That's the question. Because if you're not spending money to put some new players on this team, an influx of talent on this team, I'm not saying wholesale changes, but you know you've got four or five DHs every game in the lineup for the White Sox, and you're not very good defensively. You are not hitting the baseball well, especially in the second half. So how are you supposed to play with that edge if you got the same players?
I think you hit the nail on the head. They're expecting Grifol to do that. And I go back to what Ozzie said at the beginning of the offseason, that hiring the manager will be their easiest task. Fixing the roster is that much tougher, and it's going to be true. Without money, it's going to be true. So, yeah, I think they're hoping Grifol can create that edge. I asked both Kenny and Rick yesterday, just casually, I'm like, do you need that quintessential position player leader? It's one thing when Leon Hendricks is doing it, or even Lance Lynn, but they're not out in the diamond every day. You know, they're out there every 5 days. And they didn't deny it. I actually mentioned a name to Kenny Williams. Michael Brantley has that kind of an edge. 35 years old, won't cost you a lot, was a leader down in Houston. I mentioned this to Carmen yesterday. It's that kind of player they need. And you would think they'd have enough money for a 35-year-old, right? So, Jay Hood, they're expecting Grifol to do it. But maybe they can find enough money to find that guy that kind of can have that edge, which permeates throughout the locker room. Because you're right, they need it.
All right, real quick, Jess, we're just about out of time.
Sure.
Jed says we're trying to win. We know the White Sox have the talent to win. We'll see what they do. Are they truly trying to win if they're not going to play in the deep end of the pool?
I don't think they're truly trying to win, no. Now, they're going to meet with everyone. Here, I'll give you an example. Like, Matt Mervis deserves a shot, right? But they don't want to put all their eggs in their basket with Matt Mervis, so they might sign like a Trey Mancini. Yeah, what does he do for you? He's nice. I like the guy. He's a good leader. But it's not playing in the deep end of the pool. They already met with Mancini's agents. He's also the agent to Drew Smyly, who they may want to bring back. They met with Wilson Contreras' agents, who also have Martin Perez, who they might look at. So it's the 1 to 2 year kind of deals to be flexible again. It's spending money like they did on Stroman and Suzuki, and then maybe if one of these shortstops works out. So it's kind of in between. It's being in the 5 foot end of the pool, not the 3 foot, and not the 7 foot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. But I know
you're kind of in the middle.
I told you you're going to contend at 24, Cap. It's not going to be next year.
I'm not saying that they're winning the World Series next year. I would like them to look at a piece and go, that guy's around for the next 5 years. Trey Turner. He checks every box. Other than Goofy John Hamm voice in his video, that guy checks every box.
Yeah, he does. I saw Mike Rizzo last night, his old GM, and he's like, dude, this guy's going to age well. He wants to play shortstop. He's an 80 makeup. He's everything you want. I just don't think he's coming to Chicago. But fine. Okay, well, let's get Xander Bogaerts. He's pretty good. So I think they're going to investigate all these things, but they're just not ready to push all their chips in. I think they're a team that's thinking about how to get to 80 wins next year, not 90 wins, and there's a big difference there.
If the Sox don't take care of this middle of this rotation and get better players, especially in the corner outfield, I'm going to hit the roof. You can't go back to 35th and Vec with that. It's an underachieving group. It's not good enough.
Agreed. He's gonna have to be Houdini in the trade market. That's what's going to come down to. We'll see what he does. We're very early, but it's the one thing I got is, hey, Sox aren't spending. Agent after agent has told me that.
Jesse, have a great day, kid. Don't lose it all at the tables like Gordon did.
You got it, guys. Take
all right,
care.
We'll see you. There he is, Jesse Rogers in Vegas.
Cap and Jay Hood, cut of the day, next on Chicago's Home for Sports.